Kevin Peters, Mill County Emergency Management, and Fire Chief Jerome Gaines talking about staying prepared during the year, especially during hurricane season. And then Dr. Robert Schutz, Bob Schutz, a good friend of mine, longtime associate. He's going to talk about helping us find healing in the healing way. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Again, my friend, glad you have made it your way to the moment in your day, your week, this very moment when you have opportunity to join me in conversation with some very helpful, interesting, encouraging, even inspiring folks. Dr. Bob Schutz, longtime Tallahassee clinician, family therapist, marital counseling, all kinds of work that he's done, author. These days, working diligently as an educator and trainer, and travels the country. But he and I met, I hate to say it, 40 years ago in graduate school, then working on a PhD in family therapy and sociology and stuff like that. And he's still going strong. He's a great individual, and you're going to find out just how great he is. We'll have him here in the first hour, talking about the healing way. And it's an interesting conversation in its own right, one that we've pulled from earlier days, but it's certainly fitting at the moment when we are all beset with circumstances within our own families, whether it's regarding threatening illness or job security. Maybe it's disagreements about political candidates or political philosophy. Maybe it's trying to get through the fray of all of the disruption. Maybe the thing is you've had a really nicely, neatly worked out lifestyle of your own, and, you know, all of a sudden, at the very least, you're having to work from home. And maybe that has some unforeseen consequences. I mean, isolation, for one thing, can be tough. And Dr. Schutz will talk about some of that. It may also have to do with just the relational issues and having to recalculate. By the way, if you've got school-age kids, yeah. So there's another layer of burden that has to be managed. And it's about that management process. It's about how you and I go about managing the changes and the fear, the anxieties, how we go about maintaining a sense of normalcy, right? No stretch of the imagination here to say that our summertime came and left with us all just sort of wondering, you know, what happened? How did this happen? You know, we got the car all packed up to go to the beach. That didn't happen. I'm standing there with my swim fins and my rubber ducky. No, that's off the books, man. So lots of plans disrupted, a lot of the things that we had looked to for encouragement, even church services. All of that, that we find resource toward bringing us a little closer to one another, or bringing us a little closer to the things we cherish, or the things that we just enjoy doing. I mean, and it's just now. Here we are, late September, and some of those things that we've enjoyed, like movie theaters, just now starting to, you know, wake up, come about. So if that's all good news for you, well, I'm glad to hear that you are encouraged, because, of course, in the efforts we make here, we want to encourage you. You know, this radio show ought to be a place where, if nothing else, you can come for some feel-good. You know what I mean? Doesn't all have to be grim. And I figure there's enough news reporting 24/7 just to remind you how bad everything is. My goodness. And isn't it helpful to think, I find it helpful, that there's a place in your broadcast experience, radio, maybe a podcast that you favor, and you're going to hear some conversation with people who are pretty thoughtful, mindful, smart, caring. And most of the time, I have to say, they come with good news, good tidings of great joy. And so will it be with the second hour of today's show. We're going to have Jerome Gaines, fire chief for Tallahassee Fire Department. What a delightful soul he is, able in his task, devoted to this community, and a great team. I mean, so many of these firefighters, we've had them on the show, Robert Clary and all these people, devotedly caring for Tallahassee and beyond. And they're out there every day, 24/7, are they not? So let's hear it for the fire department. You know, we take our time around here to salute men and women in the line of duty, whether they are TFD or TPD or sheriff's offices. Yeah, man. The emergency care people, EMTs, and all the emergency techs that work the hospitals and clinics. We are quite fortunate, I would say. So once again, you know, here's a little good news for you. It's not quite as bad as we might otherwise imagine it or even feel that it is. You know, those feelings can really get in the way of seeing clearly. And I want to remind you that this show is devoted to, if nothing else, clarity of vision. You know, Tallahassee is not everything we want it to be, by any means. Yeah, we still have a lot of problems. You know, and I was appreciative of the fact that the newspaper was reporting on gun violence, and we need to have that conversation ongoing. I think we also need a conversation about gang violence and fatherless children and families that struggle against the tide of unfortunate circumstances born into situations that are disparate, are stressed because of circumstances that came about long before their arrival. How do we reach out to those kids that find themselves struggling to find identity and self-worth and purpose in life? Okay, well, when you start getting into that part of the conversation, you might end up getting into some of those causal discussions. That is to say, discussions about causality. You know, the origins of, or at least the seedbed for those kinds of decisions that take somebody away from trusting in family, parents, and try to provide for them a sense of security and stability. And what do they turn to? They turn to gangs that say, hey, you're one of us, and here are the rules. And those rules run juxtaposed to the rules that govern the rest of our community at large. And then, of course, part of that protocol is those gangs that oppose them. And so there you go. Whether it's related to crime of some kind, drug-related, robberies, or just rivalries, there is no question about the fact that while we're talking about preventing gun violence, we have got to widen that conversation and look at the antecedents that stand in our way.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, your humble host, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, streaming on your digital device, moosemagnificat.com, streaming radio. It's amazing what this little station is doing. Last time I looked, we were sitting at about 140,000 listeners worldwide. Go figure, huh? Well, I think it's kind of cool because, in fact, so many times we are known for things that are not particularly flattering, whether it's a high crime rate or, I don't know, a botched presidential election. Yeah. Things of those kind don't really bid us well. And then again, research was done years ago to determine how people best recognized Tallahassee. Courtesy of Florida State University football, people recognized the logo emblem for FSU football more readily than they did the state seal or the seal for FSU at large, the university itself. I mean, you know, that's kind of how it goes, right? I mean, stuff that is, it's an entertainment-oriented culture that we live in. So, I mean, we pay attention to the latest shiny thing that comes along our way. And college football has plenty of shine to it. Although these days it's been a bit rough, knocking the rust off. Nonetheless, good that we are recognized for such good things like Moose Magnificat bringing you all of these fantastic musicians. And I want to say there's over 1,000 now artists that have submitted their works. And these are all original songs. That's a great thing. In that process, we have discovered a lot of folks that otherwise have been rather relatively undiscovered. Some have moved on. Tyler Denning, I think of him, Taller Trees, great little trio that they were. And they've relocated. They're in Nashville now, but we stay in touch with Tyler and such. And we'll have to get it. He was on the show, he and his buddy, about a year or so ago before they left town. That was a great show. We'll have to do a rebroadcast of that for you. Or you can go back and listen to it yourself. If you go to the archives, TallahasseeTalks.com, all the shows have been categorized by date and by topic or guest. So you can do a search and go Tyler Denning. Yeah, bring up all those occasions when Mr. Denning was a guest on the show. Yeah, there you go. TallahasseeTalks.com is the place. And if you'd like to email us with a suggestion or question, topics@TallahasseeTalks.com is the address. Glad to hear from you at any time. You can find us on Facebook. Lots of good postings going on there, courtesy of our social media team that kind of keeps things between the lines for us. And as always, we're eager to bring to you the people that are moving the needle, making things happen. And we're going to continue to do that as long as the good Lord continues to give us breath and bandwidth. We will be here for you. Okay, so here we have some announcements from Leon County Emergency Management. Seems appropriate since I've got Kevin Peters, their director, coming on here shortly in the next hour of the show, in which they are offering some additional help. Leon County Clerk of Court is resuming their in-person services on the Northeast Branch. Now, this information is a little bit dated. It came out actually late last week. But if you hadn't paid note to this announcement, available services include payment of traffic citations and court-ordered costs, the acceptance of passport applications, passport photos, marriage licenses. So that Northeast Branch is now back online, so to speak, back in person, I should say. And if you want to find out more about that, go to leonclerk.com. That's the website. Let's see what else we got here. Leon County has launched their Leon Cares program. Some of those individuals and businesses and human service agencies have already received grant money from Leon County. Commissioner DeLoge was here a couple of weeks ago telling us about that program. Sizable it is in terms of its abilities. I think they're collectively, I think it's like $14 million that they set aside for such effort that was split between businesses and individuals. And then, let's see here, Tallahassee Leon County Office of Economic Vitality, they're still offering cloth face coverings for businesses. So if your employees or even visitors to your business don't have a mask, well, you can pick up some free ones from Leon County Office of Economic Vitality. There you can find out more. If you'll go to oevforbusiness.com, that's OEV for, the word for, business.com. Well, that's good news. Other good news involves recorded statistics regarding weekly documented cases of COVID-19. Still on the decline. Weekly documented new cases are decreasing. The percentage of positive cases is decreasing. So that's good. Weekly emergency room visits with flu-like symptoms is decreasing. So in total, the COVID numbers surpassed 27 million worldwide. According to the Florida Department of Health, there have been almost 7,900 positive cases. Again, these data may be a bit dated. This is saying 7,943 positive cases in Leon County. In Florida, there have been as many as 650,000 positive cases. But again, good news. Things seem to be on the decline in relation to those instances. Anyway, you can get rid of those old tires for free in partnership with Florida Department of Environmental Protection. Leon County is offering this, and the event will take place over several weeks, beginning Thursday, October 1st, and continuing through Friday the 20th. Yeah, and they're pointing out that just one old tire sitting there in their backyard can be responsible for thousands of mosquitoes. So don't do that, right? So you want to go to leoncountyfl.gov/mosquito. All right. So if you want more information about that, there. I've done my part in keeping you informed of good things and good news that will be good for you, my friend. You stay with me. I've got Dr. Bob Schutz here in this next moment of the show. Remember, you can find us online at TallahasseeTalks.com.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945.
I called a friend.
When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals.
They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. And I guess you know, there's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Eric.
Witten Glass,
special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are here. We have back with us Dr. Bob Schutz, who for many years has been about this business of bringing counseling, therapy, training, teaching, ministry of, at various levels in various capacities. And I will say to you, my friend, that this is a man who I've known for a number of years, probably a good 30 years. Both of us in graduate school at the time, both recognizing a couple of things I think that we had in common. A, that we were the least likely people to actually go after this kind of work, you know, who I will speak for myself, I guess I should say that. Who in the world would come to me for counseling or advice, even traffic directions? But such was the case, and it gave me opportunity to see even then that Bob Schutz was a man who was quite sincere. And I remember him being particularly proficient academically. I mean, he was the one person I thought in all of our graduate, among our graduate students at the time, fellow students, who just really knocked it out of the park. I mean, he was a very astute observer and an articulate sort of person who brought a greater level of understanding, I think, to the, if we'll call it, the therapeutic process or the business of counseling at a professional level. So it's my pleasure. Let's welcome Dr. Bob Schutz to the studio. How are you?
Good, Brian. Thanks. Good to be back.
How was that intro? Did I do all right with that?
You did okay.
Okay. Well, I was going to say some nice things about you too, but I couldn't think of any. For our part, as your audience, where have you been? What have you been doing? It's good to have you back, by the way. We had you here, I don't know, back in May, I guess.
I think April, it was May, yeah.
May, You took off and went around the country, it felt like, back and forth several times. Tell us about your summer.
That's been a really full summer. Over in June, we had conferences going on and a summer seminarian program for Catholic seminarians from around the country. So that was in June.
Plus, and where was that?
That was here in Tallahassee.
Okay, all right.
Plus I went to Ohio in the month of June, in the middle of all that. So it was a really active month, unusually active
month. Wow. What happened in Ohio?
It was a conference at Steubenville, Ohio, for priests, deacons, and seminarians. And
wow.
So I was one of the speakers up there.
Wow.
With a bishop and several priests and
so this occupies your time more so than the old days when you were down there doing marriage and family therapy. You're not in practice as
yeah,
such.
Yeah, I officially retired this past December, but it's been phasing out for years
I
now.
I see.
As this has picked up, we just haven't been able to.
So your time is spent more so now as that guest speaker or as the seminar presenter. Tell us about the work itself. What kinds of things you're doing?
I spend a good part of my time writing, speaking, and then leading this ministry with others.
Yeah. And I saw that in my mention of our beginnings together in graduate school. That was evident to me that you were as equally gifted as a teacher along with those things that counselors and therapists will do.
Yeah, it's actually, I don't know if this was true for you, Brian, but I remember being in graduate school, where even up until the point where I graduated, I didn't know whether I was going to go teach or whether I was going to go be a therapist.
Right.
And it turned out both.
Both, yeah, yeah. Right.
But I just really didn't know because they were both equal interest.
Yeah. Well, in fact, of course, a lot of therapeutic practice involves teaching of some kind.
Yeah.
Your style of teaching, though, particularly, is very personal and I think is applied out of your own personal experiences. You shared some of that in our first round here a few months ago, how for you, the practicing professional, your own life then became sort of this, I don't know, testing ground or lab. You're coming home at night and going, let's see, okay, this is supposed to work this way.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
Well, I think there's an evolution, as it is in most of our life, of learning that just theory doesn't really change people's lives. It's good to have an understanding. It's good to learn from other people's experiences. But I found that three things really were very important. One is that it became integrated in my own life, out of both the places where I've struggled and the places where I experienced the truth of it lived out. And then also spiritually, that it had to be true beyond me, that it had to be true in a objective, eternal sense. If it was really going to, you know, otherwise it's just fads. Otherwise you're just communicating fads and you're communicating opinions and those are so ephemeral and passing and really unpowerful. You know, I think often about the scriptures where Jesus is speaking and teaching and the people are astonished and they say, who is this man? He speaks with such authority, unlike our teachers, unlike the ones that we're used to. And so you say, where does that authority come from? Well, the authority comes from the essence of who he is, but it also comes from that reliance on the Holy Spirit and the truth of being able to reveal things that are eternal and not just temporal and cultural and political. And, you know, it's just, we have so many voices now in our culture that are just speaking out of theory or speaking out of personal opinion, and it just carries no weight. And I can just tell you, as a therapist, in the years that I was doing that, people's lives weren't changing, and my life wasn't changing.
And in fact, your life has changed, and now you look at that and point to the person of God in the person of the Holy Spirit in Christ. You find in that relationship you have with God the source of all of that change, healing, understanding.
Yeah.
So it is universal. It isn't time locked or trendy.
And to say that it's changed is true, but it's also changing. You know, that's an ongoing thing. I mean, there's always an awareness of how much I'm still holding on to life like I think it should be lived, rather than opening myself to life the way the God
calls. And I noticed that about you too, if I may, in your personal life. I mean, it's very difficult for me to distinguish Bob, the teacher, counselor, therapist, from Bob, the guy. I mean, there's a kind of consistency there that tells me this isn't another suit that he's putting on or another frame that he's having to talk through. You're just being you. In a specialized way, but it's Bob Schutz.
I hope that's true. That's certainly the desire.
Well, I'm seeing that. So,
yes.
You know, one of my mentors once said, if you can fake sincerity, you got it made. So if you're faking, brother, man, you're good.
Yes.
But life doesn't let us fake it very often, does it? It brings us short and says, I'm going to test that. Yes. I'm going to see if that's really true.
But yes, and here's my caution with it, because I think all of us, one of my favorite writers is a guy by the name of Jacques Philippe from France. And in one of the books that he was writing, he said something that when he expressed it, it just caught my attention. The book is called Interior Transformation.
Okay.
And he says, all of us are born with a wound. And that wound is a sense of deficiency. because of original sin, we are not what we know we should be. We are not what.
So we're born into this state of
inadequacy, deficiency.
Hmm.
And he says, all of us, every one of us, have a problem with pride, where we put on a face so that the world thinks that we're sufficient.
We're okay. Yeah.
And so, to say that you or I are authentic, and we certainly try to be in the the relationship with God, certainly helps that, helps us grow into that.
Mm.
It would say to have perfect integrity or to have perfect authenticity, I think is something that's a lifelong process. And in that, there's constantly this dealing with the pride, the facade that says, this is what I want you to see about me.
Interesting.
And this is what I want to hide from you because I'm not sure that you'll accept me if you see all this deficiency.
Yeah, boy, I relate to that. That's why I'm on the radio. So that I can just present to you with you actually not actually having to see me in other places around. Well, okay, some of you have. Just be quiet right now.
But that's probably why your listeners enjoy listening to you, because you're real.
I hope that they do. I certainly don't have anything else to offer but what you're getting.
Well, if they don't, then we're speaking to each other.
Whatever. Exactly. And I like you, so that's fine. Folks, we're listening to Dr. Bob Schutz. He's with us here just for a few more minutes. You stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, folks. I'm Jerry Thigpen, blues guitar player here in Tallahassee, coming at you for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on 93.
We're back. We're talking with Dr. Bob Schutz, my good buddy and a good friend of a lot of people. My goodness. And that circle has widened considerably now that you have been going to places like, what'd you say, Steubenville?
Steubenville, Ohio.
Ohio.
Seattle, Washington.
Cleveland.
I haven't been to Cleveland lately.
Okay.
Austin, Texas.
What about the Football Hall of Fame? Have you made that yet?
I've visited there. Okay. I have been to Canton, and I've been to Cleveland.
You're checking off the bucket list there.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
We're talking more seriously here about the work of God, the work of God through us, and particularly through people like Dr. Schutz, who bring to us then these nuggets of understanding, the insights that are hard fought, I think, because as you've said for us, this isn't theory in the sense of it being sort of contrived or imagined. This is lived out.
Yeah.
You're drinking from the same well that you're asking us to drink from. Is that right? Yeah,
that's the desire.
Yeah.
Yes.
And in that work that you're doing, some of those folks that you've mentioned, groups of people, people who are in either a religious order, if they're in the priesthood, if they're in some pastoral capacity, they're a very special group, and they come to you, I would think, with some very special needs. Is that right? And if that's true, then what do you do? What do you do for them? I guess.
Well. There's different groups and different needs, but I think for all of them, I think all of them would say, when you put on, we were just talking before about authenticity and about putting on an outfit.
Right.
When you put on an outfit that represents God,
yep.
Right?
Yep. You're wearing that Roman collar.
You're wearing the Roman collar, or you're wearing a habit as a religious.
Yeah.
You're already standing out in the world as somebody who represents God.
Hmm.
Okay, for good or bad, and we certainly have had.
And certainly this is true of all of those who are in some capacity, Protestant, Catholic,
absolutely.
Jewish,
absolutely.
Muslim, I mean, whatever.
You're representing. More than yourself
when
you're in that position.
Yeah.
And so the place that's necessary is a place where they can go and be real. Not that they're not real out here, but that they could be real with all the stuff.
They can unmask a bit.
They can unmask and bring their needs. So much of the time, and you know this when you're ministering to others, so much of the time we focus on trying to be available to give to others in the power of God.
Yeah.
But there's few, when you're in that walk, there's few that you can trust to go to bring yourself to. And so it's really a great trust that we as a ministry, John Paul II Healing Center, we see it as a great trust.
Right.
And we're not just looking at their healing process, although that's part of it, their transformation, right. their woundedness, the places of deficiency that they right. need the love of God and they need right. the healing power of,
right.
of the Holy Spirit. But we're also looking at them living in the freedom of who they are. You know, there's a quote from John Paul II that I just love. He says, "Be who you are, and you will set the world on fire." And, you know, John Paul II, the reason why we have our name after him is that he is a man that touched millions and millions of people by being who he was and by setting the world on fire. You know, it just... whatever your background, it didn't matter. At his funeral, there were Catholics and Christians of every kind, but Jews and Buddhists and Hindus
right.
and
right.
Muslims.
Worldwide.
Worldwide.
You know? And what I hear you saying is the you that you are is the you that is found in God. Okay. It is the you that is the genuine, we would say the real you,
yes.
not these other...
The facade you, yes.
Right.
All the roles we play, all the we talk about in our ministry, all the pretend suits we play.
Uh-huh. Which are highly social, right? They're interactive in nature.
And they're necessary.
Because I see you in this capacity, and so you receive what I expect you to be in that capacity.
Yes.
And that may not yet align with the real you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Parents do that to kids a lot, I think. I know I have to my kids.
And vice versa.
Right, yeah. I expect you to be a real jerk, and so then I deliver. You know, my kids know. This is the guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so if following that admonition, be who you are, and you'll set the world on fire, do you see that happening in your life? Are you setting your world on fire? I know that's not a fair question.
Again, that's for...
But I don't care.
That's for God to judge.
What are the people you're ministering to say to you about that?
Well, that's...
Are you seeing the results?
It's a beautiful thing to watch. It's a beautiful thing to watch. We, as an example, just went out to Seattle.
Yeah.
And conference, the whole team's putting it on. Huh. But to hear the fruit that comes in the lives of people, I mean... I had a man come up to me and he says, I just have been watching this ministry from afar. And he said, the thing that's so compelling to me is I just see people's lives radically transformed.
Uh-huh.
And he says, when I see that fruit, I want to find out where that's coming
from.
Where
is that coming from?
And I says, well, it's not coming from us. It's coming from God.
Yeah.
Because only he's the only one capable of that.
Yeah.
And so what we do is we become... conduits, as you say, the guides, as you say, those who participate and create opportunities for that to happen.
And the impediments to that are those places of woundedness, right? The places where we've been traumatized either by some action or lack of it, right? A neglect.
Yes.
Or both, most often probably both. Where how do you get involved at that too?
Yeah, I would say there's absolutely. I mean, that's a lot of what our ministry addresses. But I would say there's two impediments, and one we were talking about just a minute ago is the impediment of this facade, this hiding.
Okay.
That doesn't let anybody touch those places.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And so that's the big part is to feel safe enough that I'm not going to be judged, I'm not going to be condemned. I'm going to be loved in the place of my weakness.
Right. That's,
where do you go in the world where you know that you can be loved in your weakness? There's not enough places.
Mm-mm.
And when you start there and it says, okay, I can trust enough to bring out into the open these areas of woundedness. I mean, exactly what you're saying, these areas of woundedness, these areas of deficiency, these areas of failure authentically and in communion with God. The Father.
We would say the real deal.
The real deal.
We're talking with Dr. Bob Schutz. He is the director of John Paul II Healing Center.
Founder.
Chief cook, bottle washer.
Well, I share that responsibility with others.
Good. and my good friend and a great friend of this show, who has brought to us again another installment, what we hope will be an ongoing series of understandings and reports back from this great ministry and this great man. Thank you, Dr. Bob.
Thank you, Brian. It's good to be with you, and I pray that between the two of us, this conversation touched somebody's life today.
That is indeed our prayer as well.
Stay with me, folks. We've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, devoted to keeping the conversation alive when it comes to all good things Tallahassee. Sometimes good things come in not-so-good packages. I mean, not that I'm the Pollyanna-ish kind of always seeing the glass half-full kind of guy, although I wouldn't suppose that I'm necessarily opposed to that way of seeing the world. Maybe it's just that I'm hopeful. You know, things can be really a mess, as they are. I mean, they're a mess. It just begs the question, how much more can one pile into a situation, a presidential election that is just rife with angst and you know, vitriolic comments and ugly posts here and there? I mean, goodness sakes. And that's just, those are just the nice people. Then when you get down into the people who really don't like one another. Reminds me of my high school. Anyway, and lunchtime was a mess in my high school, I'm going to tell you. But thankfully, we're in better times. And perhaps we have all come to realize that no matter how nasty or ugly we want to be in any given moment, it just doesn't fix anything. In fact, it doesn't even make us feel better, you know, in my humble opinion. I think we find ourselves dragged further into a state of just mindless despair, or less sensitive awareness to really what's going on about us. I mean, we just become so obsessed in some respects, or overwhelmed with negativity and, you know, our worries about the future and how we're going to solve this problem. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, I hate to sound grandfatherly here, but I mean, I'm 65, and I lived through a period of time in my childhood known as the 60s. You know, in the last 30, 40, 50 years have been certainly, you know, plentiful in terms of its, of those years of conflict and despair and world unrest. How about, Middle Eastern conflict? How about domestic terrorism? Most notably, of course, we just got through observing 9/11. So, I mean, in fact, there has been for us as a nation, as a culture, an ongoing struggle for goodness, for freedom, for liberty, justice for all, one nation under God. You know, those are the ideals, the execution of which we are still trying to work out, as the Bible says, with fear and trembling. Yeah, so in that process, right, what is to be gained by taking a despairing approach? I mean, you don't have to be giddy, but I think you have to stop and ask, are there ways in which you and I individually can stand up for what we believe to be a good way, a productive way, not just for me, not just for a few, but following this edict, this rule of thumb, this guidance, the greatest good for the greatest number of people for the greatest period of time. We are not in a time that is a repeat of the 60s. No. We've lived too much. We've come through too much. And we've learned too much to try to come back to anything. We have to go forward. Some people say, I yearn for those good old days. Well, guess what? They're not in your past. They're in your future. If you are smart enough, wise enough, resilient and determined enough to pull together with the people who say, I care for you and I care about us. It's not one or two people. It is a collective. But in that collective effort, we find ourselves grabbing hold of the stuff that's worth fighting for. Liberty, justice for all. Yeah. And where we have completely gone off the rails, where we have in our history been completely callous and hypocritical, and then the next best thing we can do is to learn from it, offer the notion of reconciliation and forgiveness, offer the type of attitude that says, I don't intend to repeat that history. I think it's true when we look at social welfare programs. I mean, AFDC money for many years was thought to be a good thing, and it has good consequences. It does provide, but it also creates unintended consequences in which the way that the rules are written encourages families to split up, mom and dad, because they don't receive the same kind of funding if dad's in the home. I mean, this was true, you know, when I was in graduate school 100 years ago, it seems, 40 years ago anyway. We were studying unintended consequences of social legislation. That was actually the title of the course. Yeah, believe it or not. And AFDC money was part of that. Aid for families with dependent children. Well, talk to the people with the Florida Chamber of Commerce. Talk to them about how unintendedly, if a single mom decides to take a better paying job, but that better paying job does not provide her enough income to cover all of her childcare expenses, she'll turn that job down. Why wouldn't she? Because there's not enough there. And what happens is, if she's making more than what the welfare program will permit her to earn on her own and still retain those benefits, well, then she's dropped. She doesn't have that coverage anymore. And the folks at Florida Chamber call it falling off the cliff. And it may be unintended, but it is real. And it may be that in creating that unintended consequence, we have to rethink, how do we help people get past that. Maybe we graduate those resources that are provided publicly. So she does take on that job where she's making $20,000, $25,000 a year. She really needs $30,000 or $35,000. And so instead of losing everything from public assistance, she loses a portion of it. That's kind of how the way the whole healthcare program is working right now. If you're going to Marketplace for assistance with your health insurance, yeah, it's based on your level of income as to how much help you get. That's not, you know, that's not too difficult to figure out. But we have to take the initiative, and among us all, there has to be that determination that individual achievement and self-reliance and the hope that my kids will have a better place to work, to have a family, to live and grow is at the core of what we intend to achieve. Stay with me.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
It's a pleasure to have him back with us this morning. He is Tallahassee Fire Department Chief Gaines. How are you, sir?
Fine. How are you doing this morning?
Nice to see you.
You too.
And you've brought with you a colleague, a gentleman who we are just now getting to know. This is Kevin Peters. How are you, Kevin?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks for having us, Brian.
Let me say that Kevin Peters is the Director for Emergency Management, Division of Emergency Management, Leon County Community Relations, and Resilience. Big topic around the world and around this particular community. Resilient life and resilient cities, resilient communities. Michelle Ray Winkle-Vasalinda spent a good deal of time talking with folks of late about resiliency. So here we are, Chief. We're heading into the rest of what amounts to hurricane season, as we've been told and as we know it. And county officials, city and public officials at various levels trying to make sure that we are all better prepared. Question I have is, are the public officials better prepared to deal with worst case scenario?
Well, first thing I want to say is I work with Kevin. We work together on this to make sure that the citizens in this community are prepared. Oh. I'll speak for the city side because that's who I work for, and I'll allow Kevin or let Kevin talk about the county side. But I would say overall, I would say yes, they are. Huh. And the reality of it is they're committed to making sure that the citizens are safe and we are prepared.
In your mind, mm-hmm. could you have easily said that last year prior to the arrival of Hurricane Hermine?
Well,
or has that changed?
Well, no, I'm saying that based on what I've seen and what I know has transpired since that incident. I can't say prior to that because I wasn't here for any of the incidents. I've only been here 3 years, so yeah. I can only go with what I've seen
right.
from that incident. Kevin could speak more on that because he's yeah. been here longer.
I see. Well, and particularly some folks have been a bit cynical, I think, in saying that, well, sure, now everybody's jumping up and down. You got county and city commissioners trying to make sure that we're all prepared and, you know, we've all got our orange buckets or whatever it is that they are proposing we do. Is that all just a bunch of PR or is it genuine? And if it is, is that what we need to do to be better prepared? So, Kevin, why don't you address that?
Yeah, well, and it is a very genuine thing. I hope most folks realize that this isn't something that started after Hermine or our Build Your Bucket program. This is actually the third time we've done it. We did it two times before Hermine. It is a genuine effort to ensure our citizens are thinking about preparedness, and, right. and hopefully the people that come out to the event are the ones that can really use the resources that they have. Again, getting the bucket and some starter supplies for your kit, that was only half the goal. The other half the goal for these events are to come out and talk to the organizations and the agencies that that have a role in disaster preparedness and disaster response and disaster recovery, hear from experts about things that will help them be better prepared, more than just some items in a bucket, because the bucket itself isn't going to help you.
Right.
Or the supplies, it's knowing what you should do with the supplies, where you can get more supplies as you go through the process of preparing. So it is a genuine effort, and it's also that effort to engage citizens with some of the experts and the subject matter experts and responders that will be there to help following an incident.
Some have said, too, that the real lack of preparedness isn't at an individual level. It's not the average household that is struggling. It's these networks of city, county officials, people who are supposed to be making sure that the power grid is safe or protected or is up and running. And that's where, I mean, in the case with Hermine, the real challenge was our ability to generate power, and then all of the connecting, you know, all of the infrastructure that could deliver that to, you know, all the households. People individually may have been prepared, but it seemed like the people, you know, running the show weren't as well prepared.
Well, you know, I'm going to probably say something that people won't agree with, but here's the reality. People weren't prepared, you know, and I'm saying that as a person that has lived for 58 years. Me personally, I've taken things for granted. You know, I came from Indiana. Indiana, we had harsh weather,
right.
winter weather.
Right.
And they always talked about being prepared, making sure you have all the right things in your vehicle if you should become stranded. You know how many times I did that? Never. Because I never thought it would happen to me.
Interesting.
And so as a fire chief, I can recognize and be honest with myself that as an average citizen, I didn't do the things necessary to be prepared. So the reality of it is the average citizen out there is not prepared.
Okay.
And so when you talk about government, it comes down to this. I don't care how well you're prepared. I don't care what resources you have. Depending on Mother Nature, you're never ever going to be able to address whatever might come through, because it could be so devastating that you would never have enough resources. And if it impacts a wide area, the resources that you would expect under normal situation where it's just impacting us locally, they're going to be addressing their own needs. You know, and so it comes down to this. The bucket is, like Kevin was saying, the bucket is, it's more than just the bucket. It's getting people to think about being prepared for any situation prior to the situation happening, because they're going to happen. But the thing is that we have to realize also that government is here to make sure that the citizens are safe and so forth, but even the government can only do so much.
Gotcha.
It comes down to the individuals, you know. And we had a meeting the other night, we were talking about this, and an individual asked a question about what is the city going to do, what have they done different. Well, I rattled off things that we've done differently, we've improved, we, you know, because we recognize that.
Right.
But it came down to this as well, that any emergency situation, the understanding is you should be able to be self-sufficient for 3 days.
Yeah.
Because once an emergency happens, a storm happens, the first thing you have to do, you have to go out and assess the damage. Right. And before you can do anything to help the citizens, you have to make sure you're able to clear the roads, get power lines out of the way, so forth, get things back up and running so you can start to provide the materials and the things that the citizens will need to sustain, water, food, so forth like that. And so the gentleman, when he said that, I said, you know, it's our responsibility as citizens to know our neighbors. That's the whole point of this program today, is to get out and know our neighbors, know what their needs are, who's on oxygen, who has a different health issue and so forth. And when those emergencies occur,
as a community, we work together. It's not for anyone to expect that government is going to do it all. They're mistaken. That's not how it works. And I'm saying that because I'm a citizen. I've been a taxpayer for 58 years, and I have not been prepared. And I'm the fire chief.
He certainly is. Chief Jerome Gaines, our guest this morning, along with our other celebrated guest, Kevin Peters, Emergency Management Director here for Leon County. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and we're talking with Tallahassee Fire Department Chief Jerome Gaines and our good new friend Kevin Peters, Director of Emergency Management there for the county. Okay, Kevin, so the chief has helped us better appreciate the fact that, given human nature, we all tend to play the odds and we think, it's not going to happen to me. I'll be fine. If that is our, we'll call it the human condition, what are you doing and the folks in your office doing to try to make us a bit more vigilant, make us a little bit more aware? We talked about the bucket campaign, right? Something that's been going on for now a couple of years. Is it working?
Well, yeah, we think it is. We had during our bucket event, there are a lot of people that were very appreciative of what we were doing. The event was much larger this year than previous years. So people, it's fresh in their mind. They're thinking about it. It's not something we're going to go away from. We hope it will maintain that freshness and that awareness and that level of urgency that we hope people keep moving forward. Back to what Chief Gaines mentioned, the human nature kind of falling back into comfort. Because we know that historically anywhere that's affected by hurricanes, it doesn't happen every year. It's a problem, I'd say probably nationwide, at least in our coastal states. Where people live along coastlines are subject to the risk from hurricanes. This is a challenge people in my profession, face from the Texas coast all the way up to the Northeast coast. So that's going to be a challenge. Some of the things that we are doing to hope, keep it fresh on a daily basis, we do have some new tools we've implemented for receiving just general severe weather warnings, other hazards that may happen throughout the year, because it's not just hurricanes. As we've seen, anything can become a major crisis in a community, from flooding to severe weather to even some of the human-caused terrorist or criminal activity that could occur. So at Leon County, we've rebuilt our Citizens Connect app. Initially, it was a service application. You want to get a pothole filled or report a damaged street sign. Could download the app, report it to the county, a crew will come out and take care of it.
Right.
We've added the emergency information piece to that now. So when you download that app, you're going to get the push notifications if it's, severe weather this afternoon or a flash flood watch.
Cool. And that's not Digitally. That's another app.
Yes, it's the Leon County's Citizen Connect app.
Okay.
The Digitally app, that is specific for the citizens of City of Tallahassee. But
again,
if you live in City of Tallahassee, you can download the Leon County Citizens Connect app. You are a Leon County
citizen. So if I go to my Google store or whatever, iTunes, I can find Leon County Citizens app.
The Google application store, the iStore, in the search box, Leon County Citizens Connect app, and it'll be right there.
Okay. Leon County Citizens Connect app.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. So let's all do that.
Yep.
Chief, you think that's a good idea?
That's a great idea.
It's a great idea. Okay. When we looked at last year's debacle, we had all these people coming at each other. Mm-hmm. You had the people who were actually getting the work done over here. Mm-hmm. So you had the mayor and the governor sparring with one another, and all of their, you know, colleagues, and everybody kind of yelling at one another across the table. Where were you in all that? Were you part of that whole thing, or were you over here trying to help people?
Yeah, no, I was in the Emergency Operations Center leading the coordination effort with all of our agencies that, and for those that may not kind of understand how the Emergency Operations Center works, if I may back up just a second.
Please.
On that.
Yeah.
We're located in the Public Safety Complex near Easter Wood Drive.
Right.
We have agency representatives. We use what's called the emergency support function in the state of Florida. It's counties plan that way, the state plans that way, even the federal government plans that way. Huh. 18 different functions, from transportation to communications, public works, fire services, incident planning, mass care and shelter, logistics, health and medical, search and rescue, hazardous materials response, food and water provision, utilities coordination, law enforcement support, animal services support, volunteers and donations.
Just a few things.
And, business industry coordination. So, yeah, so those are all the functions.
This is all under your umbrella as an organization.
And that's our job. That's to coordinate it. So there's different entities, different county, city agencies, and they send their liaison to our office.
Wow.
And again, it's multi-agency coordination. Yeah. As Chief said earlier, it's not any one agency that's responsible for coming out and fixing the problem.
Right.
It's a unified effort, and that's what happens in the Emergency Operations Center.
So the, we'll call it the public display of animosity between state and city county officials, was that all just sort of annoying and interfering, or was there some substance to that whole thing? I mean, I think most of us just kind of sat back and said, well, can't we just get the power turned on? I mean, why do we have to beat one another up in this deal?
Well, you know, I don't know about that. And as Kevin said, I can tell you what was happening there. You had people were there focused on doing their job.
Yeah.
I can tell you this. I personally saw city and county officials. They were there supporting their people. And the people working that incident were appreciative of the fact that they were there to show they were.
And it's their job to do
well,
that.
Well, no.
Yeah, I mean, because the mayor doesn't make those decisions.
Well,
the people who are running the power.
But you got to look at it this way. People forget that when we're sitting in there in the Emergency Operations Center and all this is going on around us, or you have elected officials there and so forth that have braved the incident to come there.
Yeah.
They've left their families. They've left people that don't have power, that are trapped and so forth, because they're putting their commitment to the citizens before their own personal needs. Think about that.
Yeah.
My wife was at home by herself without power.
Yeah.
While we were there, people were there taking care of the needs of the citizens, because that's the oath, pledge, commitment we made when we took these positions.
That's part of the deal.
And it's the same as the mayor, the commissioners, or whatever. They didn't have to be there. They wanted to be there to show support for the people. I don't know about the rest of the stuff. All I can tell you is that's what I witnessed.
I think, in fact, that part of the story probably got muted. I don't think that people paid attention to the fact that behind all the furor going on and the finger pointing, and I think a lot of that came from people who were observing the finger pointing, by the way. There were people like you, Kevin, who were really just trying to get it done.
Exactly.
But I get back to this point about the infrastructure itself being so badly damaged that it doesn't matter how many times you flip that switch. There's nothing on the other end of that switch.
And that's, you know, and that is a thing. And that's probably one of the places where an improvement can be made is just the education of what it takes.
Because now we're talking about cutting down trees and trying to make sure that we're not, you know, sitting there like a sitting duck anymore.
When the power goes out during a storm, what you have to remember is that there are different layers and levels to the electric system.
And none even of us understand that, clearly.
On a good day. I mean, we've probably all seen it. We've driven through the community. Yeah. How many crews does it take to do something electric's doing? Mm-hmm. And you see them in the morning when you leave your neighborhood. You see them in the afternoon on a planned project.
Right.
It takes a long time. It's not fast work.
Right.
And it's dangerous
it's
work.
It's dangerous work, yeah.
And I know the chief has responded mm-hmm. to calls where somebody's been electrocuted by an electric power line.
And that, like you say, that's on a fair weather day.
Right. And it
now
is,
let's put it at night in
right.
a storm.
Right.
And you got live wires laying
it's
around.
Dangerous
the
work.
Yeah,
the
sure.
guys are going to work at the speed of safety.
Right.
And that's the key right there. They're going to work at the speed of
yeah.
safety.
Right.
But and they've got to restore every piece from the power plant or wherever the power comes from.
Yep. Right down
each
to my house.
Well, until they right. get to your
yep.
house.
Yep. See, and that's my concern mm-hmm. in general about all of the PR campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
While God bless you for saying y'all need to think about this, and mm-hmm. Chief's right, you know, we're complacent, you know, we get comfy. I wonder how many of us understand what really happens to make that power come from that point yeah. to my house. And you've ticked off, what, more than a dozen different agencies mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. involved and responsibilities that you have. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Our hurricane survival guide that we've printed for many years, probably close to 30 since Hurricane Kate, we've urged people to be prepared for up to 2 weeks food and water following a hurricane
yeah.
because that's the lesson we learned in Kate.
We're talking with Kevin Peters. He is the Director of Emergency Management here for the county, along with our good friend and the friend of many, Chief Gaines, Tallahassee Fire Department. You stay with me. We got more.
When you place a document in someone's hand, it should reach more than their head. It needs to reach their heart with compelling visuals and dramatic presentations right down to the paper it's printed on. Rapid Press reaches the hearts of thousands of people every day with commercial printing and mailing services for organizations that feed and house children, for businesses that bring vital products and services to our community, and for theaters, festivals, and orchestras reaching bigger audiences and bringing joy to life. Rapid Press commercial printers since 1983.
For digital printing, offset printing, finishing and mailing services, reach for Rapid Press. When you're ready to share your vision, excite your customers, and reach the hearts of your audience, reach for Rapid Press. You'll find them online at rapidpress.com or call 893-7346. 893-7346. Rapid Press, the power of print.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
You know, the governor is just trying to favor corporate power, and the city's trying to protect its own interests. I mean, that to me sounds like an administrative problem.
Yeah.
So the communication there is face-to-face. It's not using a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's about looking across the table and trusting the person that you're looking at. And I want to know, how has that changed? Is there a better climate there for city, county, state officials working together?
Well, I would say it is. I can tell you what, like I said, I personally witnessed myself. I mean, obviously, the county and the city, we're working together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Kevin and I work together. We train together. We prepare together. And I would say the same for the different county and city officials.
Right.
They understand mm-hmm. the importance to the citizens that we all are on the same page.
I hear you.
And so I've seen that change. They're committed to making this work.
And the fact that you're all in the same place.
Right. Yeah.
That's
right.
A huge investment over here on Easterwood Drive in this building.
Think of it this way.
Yeah.
This is my understanding. Before I came here, this incident
uh-huh.
was the first time that they've truly put that consolidated system.
Which is Kevin's point, that, you know, we did a lot of practicing. We just practiced
for this. And
so
you're going to have some bumps and things, and we've recognized those things, and we are testing the system and the changes we've made now in order to avoid those in the future. Because think about this. The last time you had a huge hurricane was back in when?
85.
Technology.
Prior to Hermine.
Yeah. Technology was not so prominent as it is today.
That's pre-internet.
It's a blessing and a curse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that, yes, we have the apps to get information out to people, mm-hmm. get people notifications so they can make the appropriate decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But in that same, on the other side of that, technology, because of that, when these incidents happen, people have the means to call in
right,
or whatever to report something, but they also want an answer
instantaneously.
Sure, sure. And my point is, Kevin, I know you've got something to share with that. Yeah. In fact, go ahead.
Well, kind of back to the practice. You know, we practice every year with the State Division of Emergency Management. They run a statewide hurricane exercise.
Right.
The governor, and this might be a weird point to get into, but the governor doesn't get involved in those practice sessions like we saw during Hermine. That was not
on the script.
Yeah, that was different.
So you're saying it was kind of a surprise to all of you that the governor showed up and wanted to say, "Hey, what are you guys getting done here?"
Yeah, typically the governor isn't that operationally involved. It's delegated to the state emergency management director. And, that's not to say that governors, we've seen the videos in the past, the governors will go to impacted communities and meet with local officials.
But that
was different. It was not what we expected. It's not what we've practiced for. And
you know what? I mean, getting back to your point, Chief, you know, all of us are grown-ups here, and none of us should be surprised that an elected official sees an opportunity to show up on camera. I mean, that's fresh meat, man. I never met a crisis I didn't love. You know, that's kind of the mentality. But I'm looking at two guys here. I mean, God bless you. What if the two of you just don't like each other and you don't get along well? And and every time you see each other, you're like, man, I got to deal with that guy again. That's where I wonder how the chemistry among these officials, if that kind of stuff, though it may exist, or if it doesn't, could come at some other point. Is there something structurally built in to how we get this stuff done that the job can be accomplished apart from personalities?
I can say this without hesitation. Regardless of whatever else was going on, be it what you said, the different stories, or given the fact that you had family members at home that were without power, the people that were working that incident, those other things you're talking about, didn't change the focus in what was being done. The work was getting done, period. And I want people to understand that, you know, let's not get caught up in the things that the news media put out there and so forth to make it seem like that what was done was a failure. That's not true. I saw firsthand how hard people were working in order to get things restored back to normalcy.
Yeah, and that's been echoed even in the more recent months following Hermine, that, okay, you know, this one came back and came to bite us, right? And it got us good. At the same time, let's look at the big picture and say, within this period of time, apart from any kind of froth,
right,
the real work did get done. Power crews were working extended shifts,
right,
you know, people putting their lives at risk just so that I can, you know, brew my coffee.
Right.
Right.
But it comes back to what I said before, is that we're all in this together. And that's the citizens as well. After storm, if you remember, there was, you know, what are we going to do for the power and so forth? But you've got all these different roadblocks, these obstacles. People don't want to have the trees cut down because that's part of our. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
People were saying, you know, let's put all the power underground. Are you really willing to pay that money? Okay. And even if you put all the power underground,
right,
it doesn't mean that if those substations are destroyed, guess what? When you hit the switch, you still don't have power.
You still don't have power.
Somewhere it connects.
You know, Chief, I have to say this. And those of us who have the advantage, I'll call it an advantage,
right,
the perspective of looking back from 9/11 and the kind of unity that emerged. Now, there were some who seemed to have weird ideas about, well, that's New York City. Why should I care about them? I mean, I heard that. But I think for the most part, most of us said, this is an enemy that has come at us. And that us was really the downbeat then for years following. And I think a lot of that still remains to some degree, although it's harder to see these days or hear. You know, when you think about it, it was Hermine that attacked us,
right?
But yet we turned on one another.
Correct.
And that's the curiosity of this thing is you guys didn't go after each other. Mm-hmm. You weren't pointing fingers. You're in there getting your job done. So perhaps being prepared as citizens includes being mindful of the fact that some people, whether it's news media or public officials, may want to try to use this in some manner to elevate or advance their position or their cause or whatever, their ratings. Meanwhile, the real life is, you know, Republicans and Democrats and, you know, capitalists and socialists, they were all working together to get the power turned back on. Right. It was nonpartisan in the purest possible sense. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would agree.
And so as we go forward this year through this, God help us that we should have another hurricane. We don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. But perhaps those of us should be a bit better prepared to think through what guys like Chief Gaines is doing, yeah, and what Kevin is doing over here at the county to try to take care of us, huh?
Right.
Okay. Folks, this is why we needed to have this conversation, and you guys hung in there with us. I appreciate it. Yeah. We will be in touch with you going forward, and we appreciate both of you and your families for what you do for this county and for this city.
That's what we've got for you again this week. Folks, thanks for being with me. We are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio right here in Tallahassee. Moose Magnificat, the sound of Tallahassee. You'll find us at moosemagnificat.com, playing all local musicians, their original songs, all the time. That is Moose Magnificat. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
At Gaines Street Pies, their sauce is no secret. In fact, just about everybody knows their imported San Marzano pizza sauce has made them famous. Two Tallahassee guys wanting to make the best pizza in town. They mashed flavors together that had never been seen on a pizza before, and they just kept working until they had the very best. Using all fresh ingredients, real sliced bacon, fresh-made ranch, and homemade meatballs. Recipe by recipe. So, less than a year later, they opened Midtown Pies on 5th Avenue in Midtown. Now they're opening their third location on Capitol Circle Northeast at Easterwood. Two guys who got famous by making great pizza with San Marzano sauce and the best ingredients. And made it great for all of us who really want the best pizza in town. Check it out. Gaines Street Pies, now with three locations. Who knows? Maybe you'll get famous. Online at GainStreetPies.com.